welcome to Sock Sock on the Air here at SockSock.com. After a week hiatus, we are back. Mario Scalise here, Jason Gage in California. Jason, I've been told, I've been warned that you're hangry today and that you're going to be going in various rants about a particular manager on the White Sox.
Yeah, hopefully I can follow through with that.
I'm going to try and keep you calm and cool and collective throughout the process. So, you know, hopefully we can get through this together.
I think we'll make it. But what would really help is if Razor Shines was managing the White Sox today.
What a bad way to start the show. Come on.
The man leads the Charlotte Knights to the playoffs. That deserves manager of Major League Baseball because the Charlotte Knights have not won in it seems like a decade since the Sox had one of the top farm systems in all baseball.
So that means any manager throughout, you know, the last 10, 15 years who have taken a team to 95 wins and getting fired the next year, they weren't deserving of it. They were good managers. In some cases, things work out.
In some cases, starting pitching is so good that they can overcome your manager's stupidity, so to speak. And this year, I think we've seen what's evident is the starting pitching has not been that good. In fact, it's been worse than, you know, you would expect. And it means Ozzie's mistakes have been magnified. It means Ozzie Guillen is more like Dusty Baker than he is like a Lou Piniella type.
Well, I will say this, and I've always believed that Lou Piniella needed pitching in order to be a good manager. I think that is for most part. I've always looked at Guillen as a guy who you give him a pitching staff, and you're gonna have a good team because offensively he's gonna be creative. My problem with him is that offensively he has been far from creative, and
he's just been boring.
Yeah, very very boring, and that's what we're gonna talk about. But first,
he's been vanilla.
Let's get into the pitching staff. You want to talk about Brandon McCarthy again, and rightfully so.
We're gonna list off a lot of numerous gripes I have when it comes to Ozzie Guillen and the reasons why. I think I called for the Sox to fire him way back when John Garland incident, I think, happened. Because then it was following the Sean Tracy incident.
Yes.
And I was pretty much sick and tired of his antics because they're not good for baseball. They're not good for other players in other organizations to be seeing these type of things. And it's obviously not good for our own clubhouse when our manager's going off on guys. Even though, for the most part, I will admit, it seems like the Sox players still respect Guillen. But I have heard that there's a little bit more dissent in that locker room than there was, especially last year. And in McCarthy's case, I've never seen a manager so stupid with a pitcher. I shouldn't go that far because there's a lot of managers that are worse than Ozzie Guillen. I'm not going to call him the worst manager in baseball.
There you go. Thank you.
And McCarthy, though, I mean, the big problem. Let's just take the big picture of this White Sox team is our starting pitching sucked. We had good starting pitching. We had the starting pitching we had last year. We'd have a better team. We'd have more wins than we did last year. And we wouldn't even worry about the Detroit Tigers because we'd probably be up 7-8 games on the Detroit Tigers. That's how good this team would have been with last year's pitching staff.
Yes.
But the bottom line is that pitching staff's not here, so we're going to have to make do with how these five guys are performing this year. Problem is you have five guys really struggling, and you need aside from Garland, and you need to find that spark. You have a guy like Brandon McCarthy who has pitched very good for the most part out of the bullpen, even though he's yet to be able to get himself in a real rhythm because he's not been pitching on any sort of regular basis. And really, this has been a year of skip development with him because he's been so relatively used. He's been so misused because we haven't used him in situations where we could let him go for 3-4 innings. And then finally, this week, they let him go 5 innings. He gave up one hit, a Torrey Hunter home run. One hit. On the year, his ERA is in the 3s. And obviously he would have needed to get stretched out, and Ozzie's right, you can't put him into the rotation now probably. Although if he's able to go 5 innings now, I have no problem throwing him into the rotation or even using him as a 6th starter, because if these guys are really sucking as bad as they are, what's the harm in trying a 6th starter in there and seeing if an extra day's rest would help them get back on track? Because McCarthy's given up fewer hits than innings pitched. I think he's our only starter to do that. In fact, Contreras is the other one. Would be the only starter to do that. McCarthy's obviously not a starter. He has a high strikeout total. He's done a very good job. His only problem is he has given up the long ball, and part of that's because he's been leaving pitches up a little bit more than he would had he been pitching on a regular basis. And it just blows me away. It baffles me how we have a guy as good as McCarthy, as well-liked around baseball, and then there's Ozzie Guillen always shitting on him. He's always slamming McCarthy, and I don't see how that could possibly be positive to McCarthy's development. And Ozzie Guillen is taking a guy that has a very promising career, and he's basically pushed it away and seeing Well, we just got to hope that McCarthy has the type of attitude that he can overcome a year like this, a year where he's basically been thrown to the side.
I wouldn't say that he's ripped on him all year long. I think there was only one instance in where they were pretty much wondering, you know, oh, this rotation is struggling. What about McCarthy? And he said, you know, McCarthy didn't pitch too good last year, and which he was dead wrong on because the September was unbelievable last year and probably a very big contributing factor to why the Sox made the playoffs last year.
Without Brandon McCarthy last year, we don't make the
I'm gonna
playoffs.
Say this.
And Ozzie Guillen's comments are blind. They're blind stupidity because when he said that, I don't know how much wrong he could be. I mean, if you're Brandon McCarthy, how do you react to that going, he didn't do anything for us last year, when the guy pitched as good as anyone in baseball down the stretch, aside from Contreras?
I think those comments, they were dead wrong. Stupid, easily. Very, very, I mean, there's no doubt about that. But what I'm saying, I think he said that in a way where he was just trying to protect his starter. And that's kind of what point I want to get to. We don't know what McCarthy would have done had he been in rotation. Obviously, he had a very good September. He could have very well came into this rotation and had a 5 ERA like everybody else. We don't know. What we do know is that this rotation has been, aside from Garland and a couple starts here and there from the other guys, has been pretty bad. So if you go and before the season, you stress and you make such a big deal about having a 6th starter and about having that other guy who, in case of an injury or in case another pitcher goes down, you have somebody to jump in and fill in and really keep the rhythm going. If you're going to make that such a big deal, then you can't hesitate during the season. And here's when you look at this Sox rotation, how much money have they taken up? Probably over $40 million, roughly.
Oh yeah,
right
definitely.
Around there. If
actually, probably
I think
more like 50,
maybe even more like 50. If you're investing $40-50 million in your rotation, I think you have a situation where the Sox are just simply afraid to say, you know what, you're making $8 million. Let's go to the bullpen. And this is a problem that they had. If they're going to go out there and make such a big deal about having a 6th starter, they can't hesitate to use him in the season when there's been clearly plenty of opportunities to go that route. And that's the problem I have with it. You know, but as far as Guillen, I think he's just protecting his starters because he has confidence from you know, last year, and he's going to say stupid things like that, you know, inaccurate things like that. But the reason he says it is because he wants to defend his starters, and he wants to let everybody know the starters are you know, we believe in them, and they're going to get it done in you know, when it's all said and done.
I think that's all fine and dandy to say, but when you're three-fourths of the way through the season, you got about 30 games left. I mean, you're more than three-fourths of the way through the season. You got to sit there and you look and you go, how are these guys just going to magically put things together? I mean, John Garland, when he was really struggling, you knew his stuff was there. He just wasn't locating. And to an extent, Mark Burley has been the same situation, so hopefully his game against the Twins is a sign of things to come. And Contreras, I'll admit, he still has some stuff, but the guy doesn't even want to throw his forkball to the right-handed pitcher, so, I mean, he's pretty much worthless
really,
at this point.
Really, I think Contreras' issue is all back. It just doesn't seem. I don't even think his fastball. It just seems like it was as lively and moving like it was, you know, earlier in this year and last year. So I think with him, there might be a little back problem, or at least maybe not enough to put him in the DL, but enough to kind of aggravate him a little bit.
I think his back probably does hurt a bit, but it's 100% on his arm angles and the fact that with his other arm angle that he's been using pretty much consistently now against right-handed pitching, he does not throw a forkball, and that is his best pitch. That is the pitch you need to be throwing. You set things up with your fastball, but you got to be throwing that forkball. He's been throwing a lot more sliders, and in that arm angle, his slider is hanging. It's basically becoming like a Javier Vasquez slider that hangs a lot, or Vasquez's breaking ball, since he throws his slider and curveball in Vasquez's case, that you have those
I just noticed
a lot of time
less
to cross
movement
up.
In general from him. He just doesn't seem like his stuff is that good right now, and maybe it is because of the arm angle. Maybe he's got the new arm angle, it's not working out, and he's got to just decide to, you know, to do away with it.
And all that said, he's basically became more like the Contreras of before he went on his run, because he's giving up big innings, and so we have him and Vasquez, who've both been giving up a lot of big innings, and Garcia. So basically we have guys that we'll have a 4-run lead, and then that lead's gone magically. And it's got to put pressure on the Sox offense. It's got to put pressure on everything else. But to magnify this problem, you have Brian Anderson, statistically the best defensive player in center field in baseball. Now, I'm not going to necessarily buy those statistics, but you had a Baseball Prospectus article about 3 weeks ago saying that statistically, and they used all their, you know, different statistical sabermetric methods, they said Brian Anderson in center field is having the best season ever. I'm talking all of baseball. They said it's better than a season Willie Mays had defensively. He's basically having a legendary
and
season.
That's pretty strong. I don't know if I necessarily agree, because I think there's some parts to his game defensively that I have problems with. It seems like a lot of times in balls in a gap, when, you know, when right field or left field is going for it, it seems like he gives up for it. He doesn't really back it up. There's little things like that that I have issues with. Overall, I think he's been great. To have those stats say that he's been the best ever, you know, this year, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's impressive. And I'm not saying that the stats necessarily back it up. But I'm not saying he's the best center fielder in baseball history this season, by all means.
But it says something.
Go that far. But when you have stats saying that, it definitely says something. You have, I mean,
he may not be the best ever, but he's got to be pretty damn good.
Exactly. And you see him making these plays, and then you see Mikowiak out there, and he played 4 out of 6 games when we're playing the Tigers and Twins. I don't understand. We have starting pitching that's struggling. We're going up against guys like Johan Santana. So why in God's sakes, I realize you want to go for offense and you want to get runs on Santana, but the best thing you can do, I think Greg Walker said it, is you need your pitcher to go out and be an ace. That's how you beat Johan Santana. You shut down the Twins. Mm-hmm. And what do? We have Mikowiak out there, 2 balls drop. We end up giving up like 3 runs early. Contreras stinks. But bottom line is, with McCarthy out, or with Anderson out there, you're not in that situation because he gets to those balls most of the time. And it's not a knock on Mikowiak. It's going back to consistently, Ozzie Guillen puts guys in position where they will fail. And a good manager doesn't do that. A good manager puts guys in positions that they're going to succeed, and in that case, it means you're going to play winning baseball.
It's you're 100% right. I don't mind seeing Mikowiak out there once in a while because I think his bat's good enough. I think he's a guy who has to get out there consistently. Maybe they should find another spot for him, although it's hard, you know, with Dye and, you know, in left field you have Pitsenik and Ozuna and so on. But you're 100% right. Anderson should be out there more, especially since now over the past, you know, 2 months he's starting to get a little bit better with his bat. And you see him getting a little more quality bats. And if you want to have a situation where for every 6 games a week you sit him once just because he's young and you want to, you know, kind of keep him, I'm not sure how I would even say that, but you want to keep him on the bench one time a week, that's perfectly fine. But when there's back-to-back games, and especially in a series like against the Tigers, and you're sitting him, and you even look against the Twins, we're going to talk about Ozzie Guillen, you know, in the Piranhas quote, you know, later on, but he considered the Minnesota Twins a team of Piranhas. Well, Anderson is more like that when you're talking about, you know, getting guys in the field who are just gritty players, and you put them in center field, and it's doing the little things. Playing defense is doing the little things. That's what the Twins are doing to beat the Sox, so why not have a guy out there in center field who could do the same thing?
Yeah. How many times do you see the Twins make these spectacular catches that save runs? And then on the flip side, you see the Sox, because Anderson's not out there, you see the balls drop that lead to runs. So you have a big difference. And I don't care how good Ron Mikowiak is, you better be damn good when you play that type of center field to actually stay out there. I mean, you got to be like Ken Griffey Jr. in his prime to be an everyday center fielder, in my book, when you play defensively the way Mikowiak does. And it's not his fault. He's a corner outfielder.
No. He's a utility player. I mean, he's not even a starting corner outfielder. He's a guy who's just supposed to be jumping around the field. And this year he was put in a situation where you're no longer playing a little bit of first, a little bit of third, a little bit of left. You're playing center field, and that's it.
And I'll give him a lot of credit because there's guys that would not want to be put in a position that they're going to consistently fail in.
Oh, yeah, because you just look.
And he's been put in this position by the manager.
You look at Mikowiak, and really he's an offensive player. And you look offensively, he's putting up good numbers offensively, and it's just it's being overshadowed by his defense in center field. And it's really unfortunate in his case.
What's even more unfortunate is you have Scott Pisenik, who's struggling out there in left field, although he did have a Scott Pisenik type game on Sunday where he had three hits and he stole 2 bases. And apparently one was actually like a legit steal. The other one, there was a poor throw in. But still, he stole 2 bases and he actually used his feet. And Mikowiak is a pretty good right fielder, left fielder defensively. He has a very strong arm. And the fact of the matter is, Scott Pisenik's doing jack shit for the Sox. If he can't run, he can't be helpful.
Because
he hurts us defensively. He's not getting – I mean – he's really not getting on base because his on-base percentage has slipped down to .335. And you have guys like Mikowiak and Gallaud who are doing more things with the team right now. And on Sunday, Ozzie Guillen actually made a comment that I actually liked. He basically said we're going to have to see more Gallaud because when Gallaud plays, he hits. And Gallaud is not worse than Scott Pisenik out there in left field, and he's a far better hitter. And while I realize Gallaud doesn't have the speed that Pisenik does, let's be honest. Scott Pisenik hasn't been using that speed to help the White Sox at all this season. He had some steals early in the season. Since then, it's been nothing.
After a while, it's not about speed. It's about getting a guy who can hit. Now, this is what I'm going to say about Pecenic. I don't know if I would necessarily sit him from the lineup. I would probably cut his playing time considerably. But going into this past weekend, before he had that weekend, I was just thinking about him. I'm like, you know what? This is a guy who he's playing passive. I think offensively he's been playing passive. Defensively he's been playing passive. And I think because of it, he's not effective at all. I think he's got to go more balls out in the field. And you see him do you see him do he did that over the weekend. He had two bunt singles. He had I think three stolen bases total, or at least two stolen bases in that one game. Defensively, he made that one he threw out a guy at second base because he actually hustled to the ball for once.
Yeah, that's the biggest.
He has to go out there and he has to say, "Listen, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to bust my ass, and if I F up defensively, I screw up." What does he have to lose at this point? Right
yeah,
now,
he's been playing scared.
He's in a situation where he may lose his job. If you're in a situation where you may lose your job, you have to just start taking chances. Defensively, he's got to start taking chances. If he's got to dive for some balls, if he's got to hustle for some balls and they get past them, so be it. But he's got to be more aggressive. And offensively, he's got to bunt more. He's got to put the ball on the ground more and run it out every single time. He's got to, when he gets on first base, he's got to be stealing on the first, second pitch. He's got to get the pitching staff on the other team thinking about him all the time. And I think if he does that, I think he'll be a productive player, especially, you know, if his bat gets hot down the stretch, I think he'll be a very productive player for the Sox. But if he's not willing to do that, then I think Ross Gloed is a very good option in left field as a leadoff hitter. Because, like you said, who cares about speed? Speed is not important if you're not hitting the ball. And in Scott, in Glow's case, he's probably the best natural hitter on the team, the best pure hitter on the team. The last time he played consistently was, what, 2003, in which he batted, or 2003, 2004, in which he batted, what, I think 320 when he was playing regularly, I think when Thomas got hurt. So he's proven, when he's gotten a chance to play, that he's going to be batting over 300. And he's going to be getting on base, and he's going to be having quality at bats. So if he's proven that, and you're in a situation where you're going to sit your starting left fielder, Gloed would have to be the guy.
Yeah, Gloed and Mikowiak, because I mean, obviously Mikowiak, he's got a 378 on base percentage. He's at 300.
Well, here's the thing, though. Where does Ozuna fit in that plan still? Because Ozuna has definitely worn some playing time too, the way he's played all year, with the exception of a 2-week slump he had after the All-Star break.
That's where it gets tough. It seems like it's going to be like if you want speed, Ozuna's obviously the guy because he has the speed, although he hasn't really been running since he got hurt, but no. He seems to be kind of putting things back together now. He's had a couple good games in a row. And
he's the right-handed
bat,
too.
Bottom line is, I haven't given Pecenic many compliments all season, but if Scott Pecenic plays like he did on Sunday, the Sox are going to start winning a lot more games that they wouldn't have won earlier
Definitely.
In the year, and they'll probably get into the playoffs. And it says a lot because I've been the guy pretty much slamming the Sox chances for a while now. And that's how key Pecenic is to this whole thing. He can make things a lot easier. Otherwise, the Sox are going to have to look other ways.
He makes Tadahito Oguchi's job much more easier. And I think Oguchi's been, he's really been struggling for much of this year. He's not the same player. And that may be because Pecenic isn't the same player. So maybe by Pecenic getting it going is going to make it a little bit easier for Oguchi, which kind of makes it better for that whole lineup.
Yeah, Oguchi's been very solid, but you're right, he hasn't been the same. And my belief is that we're going to see changes both the number one and number two spots next year. And I know my fantasy is Brian Roberts and Jimmy Rollins kind of taking over, but probably never happened. But that'd be a whole lot of speed, a whole lot of quality offensive players, and guys that, with their speed, steal at a successful rate where it's really acceptable to be running.
Now,
and before I leave the outfield, I kind of got to go back to Anderson because – I know I've been mad at Ozzie, and I have another comment that really pissed me off. That really, you know what really grinds my gears? Ozzie Guillen. He's talking to Brian Anderson, and he told Anderson that he needs to either become a speed player
I remember
or
that.
A power hitter.
I remember
now,
that.
Now, what the hell is that? Has Ozzie Guillen heard of a little thing called a five-tool player? I mean, you guys got guys like Carlos Beltran. Isn't he a speed player? Isn't he a power hitter? Doesn't he play good defense? Yes.
I was confused with that comment, too, because I didn't understand it. It's like you either have to hit the ball really, really hard or you have to be fast, and I don't get that at all. Why can't you just be a good natural hitter who could play an exceptional defense in center field? That was I can't even comment on that. That was just a pretty dumb
stupid
statement.
I mean, we're talking about a guy in Anderson's – Now I realize a lot of Sox fans still don't really appreciate what they have in Brian Anderson, but we're talking about a guy that as he develops and he's been making strides all season long, he's got the positive attitude. I mean, there's not much not to like about Brian Anderson. He's a guy that's going to be – he's not going to hit 300. I mean, you can hold that and you can – it's not going to happen. He's a guy that could hit 280 with 25 to 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, all while playing gold glove defense.
Yeah, he's not going to be –
being a premier center fielder.
He's not going to be an all-star, all-around player. He's going to be a good hitter and a great defensive center fielder, and that's where his strength's going to be, is that he's going to be great defensively, and offensively he's going to do, you know, better than average.
He's going to be like a Torrey Hunter, but he could be a little bit better offensively.
Yes. Yes, better offensively.
I mean, Hunter's average is a little lower than most people would like. I think he could have a little better average than Hunter, be a little bit better of a professional hitter.
Definitely better offensively than Torrey Hunter. But anyway.
But we're talking, and I have a manager, I see a manager doing this, and it kind of goes back to, Ozzie Guillen does what Ozzie Guillen likes. If he likes a player, they're in good shape. He doesn't like Brandon McCarthy. It's pretty well known. I mean, and we see it. He's not used, and you have Ken Williams, who really likes Brandon McCarthy. So you have a whole little tie right there. You have situations. You have, obviously, he likes Freddie Garcia, Guillen. I mean, he's in a biased situation, and you see Garcia gets babied from time to time.
Well, you know, he did have a comment for Garcia after his last start, or after two starts ago. He did have some
true.
Pretty
he did really
choice
rip
words.
Into
so, and he's done it before. When we had that one, when there was the one game where it was raining and the ball went to Grujic's leg and Garcia throws up his hands and Guillen got him for that. So, I think maybe last year or maybe in the early part of this year you could say that he was favoring Garcia, but I think that their relationship has been
it's been a little bit more term.
Yes.
Yeah, a little more turmoil.
But you know, going back to this to the lineup, going to Jermaine Dye. You were talking about changes in the one hole, changes in the two hole. Jermaine Dye has been batting third, and this has been, I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but I know my belief from the very beginning of the season is to have Jermaine Dye batting third in this lineup. He's been batting third with Tomei out. Tomei's going to be back in a couple days.
He may be back today.
Maybe even today. But I think they say they may, because Guillen's philosophy is usually if a guy is ready one day, sit him and get him, you know, make sure he's ready for the next day. That's usually his philosophy on injuries. Does Jermaine Dye deserve to stay in that three hole?
If I were the manager, yes. The reason I say this is because with Jim, especially against left-handed pitching, because
that's
when
it.
We play left-handed pitching, we have Tadao Hideyoguchi who can't hit lefties. We have Scott Pesenik, who really can't hit lefties, or occasionally Pablo Ozuna's up there, and he's decent against left-handed pitching. And then you go to Tomei, who's really not that good against left-handed pitching. So basically, our top three is useless.
And it's not even, you know what, it's not even the whole lefty thing for me. I like Tomei. I mean, I think he's, the numbers speak for you know, for themselves, but when he goes 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts, he doesn't contribute anything to the team that particular day. I think Jermaine Dye he could do other things. If he's going 0 for 4, he has the capability of at least making contact, falling off some pitches, hitting a sac fly, doing other things. Whereas Tomei is pretty much just, he's either going to have a really good day or a really bad day. So that's kind of where I like it. What's that?
Yeah, he's going to have a good day.
And Jermaine Dye, while he's not the fast, you know, he's not as fast as he used to be, he does have some speed. So I would like to see that. I would like to see a power threat in Tomei batting fifth. And then, you know, you follow that up with Creedy and Pruszynski and, you know, Yuri Van Anderson and so on.
My favorite part of it is it moves Creedy up a spot in the lineup, which gives you a little bit more run production. And then it drops Dye a little bit down and gives you a little bit more split down there.
Pruszynski?
And it really, Pruszynski. And it really neutralizes our offense. It gives us a much more balanced approach.
Yep.
Although I don't see it happening. I mean,
no.
Bottom line.
No.
And it's not going to cost us.
Three hitter. I don't know. I mean, really, if I'm going to go out there and I'm going to say, if you take, you know, Jermaine Dye and Paul Konerko and Jim Tomei and Joe Creedy, and you say which guy of these four is the least valuable to this team, I would say it's Jim Tomei. That doesn't mean he's not valuable, but I would say him. I mean, he is the one guy I wouldn't mind seeing dropped in a lineup. Whereas Jermaine Dye, he's been so freaking consistent. And Konerko, I think I like his approach more so than a Jim Tomey's approach. And Creedy has been solid all year. I think he's the one guy who I wouldn't mind seeing dropped in a lineup.
No, I agree with you. Although I do think that Jim Thome's presence has made a lot of these guys relax, and it's a reason why we've seen some of the numbers
Perhaps,
we have.
perhaps.
But Jermaine Dye, he continued. He had a great week in the three hole. He was player of the week. He had some clutch home runs. I mean, the guy's putting up. He is the MVP as far as I'm concerned. If the White Sox make the playoffs,
Yeah.
if the White Sox don't make the playoffs, Justin Morneau's the MVP because that means the Twins got in. And no, the New York Yankees don't have an MVP candidate. Although Derek Jeter should get quite a few votes, and I have no problem with that. He's having a tremendous season, especially offensively. And then you have Big Poppy. No, you don't make the playoffs. You better have numbers that are just phenomenal, phenomenally better than
Well,
anyone close to you.
the MVP the debate is hard. I mean, I know in one case I always look at it where it shouldn't necessarily be about making the playoffs. It should be about if you take this guy off the team, how big of a drop off is that team going to have? I mean, if you have a team that's just horrible and you have this one guy who's carrying this team into being a playoff contender and they miss the playoffs, you could say that without that guy, they're maybe not even they don't even have a chance to even be in the playoff hunt in September. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and in that case, I go completely to Justin Morneau with what he's done for that Minnesota
You
Twins
could say,
offense. It's
yeah. I mean, but
been huge. And Jermaine Dye has been huge for the White Sox. I mean, without him, there's quite a few games we probably haven't won. And obviously, Big Poppy, we're talking about guys had tons of clutch hits for him this year and in years past, so I give him credit for that. But I obviously think that he is aided by having the best run producer in possibly baseball history in his lineup, and I'm talking about Manny.
Yes.
But I guess my Aussie rants have gone out of the way. He's gonna be our manager. He'll be our man. Unfortunately, he'll be our manager next year unless he resigns. Cross your fingers, people. Cross your fingers. But the Twins. Let's talk about the results on the field. The Twins whooped our asses again, and they did it beating us with small ball. This is the thing that Ozzie Guillen said that we were going to be good at. We were going to use speed. We were going to play defense, and we were going to have starting pitching. I'm not going to put any blame on him for the starting pitching, but we obviously haven't used speed, and we
It's
haven't
not
been very
about
aggressive on the
speed.
base. It,
It's
it's
about
not
hustle.
speed, it's aggressive. It's on the base
Yes.
pass, it's bunting,
And
it's doing the little things.
you saw this in the Twins series. The Twins hit a ground ball. The Twins hit a ball in the outfield. They were thinking too, or they were trying to bust their ass to beat out that ground ball every single time, where for the most part, the Sox would hit a ground ball, and it's an easy out. So they jog to first base. The ball's hit in the outfield. Oh, let's take a single. They don't try to take that extra step. And Guillen's Piranha's quote, I think it's funny because it does show what the Twins are, but that's what the Sox should be. That's what the Sox more or less kind of were last year. They were that scrappy team. But now Guillen basically says, oh, well, we're a home run hitting team. We're a team with big guys who are just going to get hits. And, we're going to leave the scrappiness to the teams like the Twins. And that's what bothers me, is that
No,
why can't you be like them?
it's more than bothering. This is what Ozzie Guillen was supposed to do. Ozzie Guillen cannot be a manager that sits around and waits for three-run homers. It doesn't work that way. With the way he manages, it's not going to work.
He's
We were
supposed to be an
supposed to use
aggressive
hit and
manager.
runs, bunts, hustling, break up the double plays when we have the chance. We've done a very poor job of that this year, and it may not be on our guys for hustling. I mean, most of them hustle a good amount of the time, but he preaches defense, and then he doesn't put the defense out there. I mean, he's doing everything in like a reverse order, and we're just hoping that we can slug our way into the World Series. And very rarely can a team do that. Albeit with the crappy starting pitching in all of baseball this year, no
It's
team having a
possible.
dominant rotation, anything's possible. But we can't just sit there and have our managers sit there going, "Yeah, we get out hustled, we do this, we do that." I want to know why, because last year we didn't have that problem. And we got to do something to fix it because it's not acceptable to lose because another team is out hustling us or outplaying us. It's acceptable to lose when we flat out get beat. But you know what? We didn't get beat. We should have and could have swept that entire series. And there's been quite a few games against the Twins where that should have happened. And instead, we have a 7-9 record against them. And so the only reason the Minnesota Twins are in the wild card race is because we've lost games that we should have won against them. And you could say this even about the Detroit Tigers. We could even have a better record against the Detroit Tigers, but we've had a couple games. Obviously, Javier Vasquez had a blow up that we should have won, but we didn't because we didn't hustle. We didn't do the little things. And it gets real old real fast. We lose games we should have won, and we don't win games that we shouldn't have won. And you turn that around, that's why our record in one-run games isn't as good this year. And a lot of that goes on the manager. Obviously, some of it goes on our starting pitching. Some of it goes on the players executing. But bottom line is, I want to see a change. We should not be losing because we're not hustling. I mean, we should not be losing games because we're getting out hustled. It's inexcusable in baseball. Inexcusable.
It's about being reliant on the long ball, and when you have a rotation that's struggling, you're going to have an offense that says, you know what, one run isn't going to do anything right now. We got to score 3-4, and meanwhile, you're going to try to score 3-4, and you're not going to score anything. So it's about trying to score consistently, and that was the bright side over this weekend. We were talking about Scott Pezzetti. If he gets on base and if he steals, he's going to be the guy who's going to get the Sox a run here, a run there. And in one-run ball games, that means a whole lot.
That one run is the difference.
Yes, and that's the difference between this year's offense and last year's offense. This year's offense is very, very powerful. But if it comes to getting that one run across at a certain time, they have to be able to do that when their bats aren't working. You're facing a guy like Jolán Santana, who I want to talk about. I don't know if you watched that game, but Santana looked, his last two starts against the Sox, he's looked very hittable. And even then, the Sox still had problems. But they hit the ball hard against him. Pretty hard against him. And you just had a Twins team that was actually making plays defensively. You know, you had that one situation, I think it was bases loaded, where Sandy Alomar hits a shot to left center field, and Jason Tyner got a good jump on it and made a nice catch to it. That's defense. But when you're facing a guy like Jolán Santana, who's going to completely dominate you, a guy like Scott Pesenik, if he gets on base, instead of hoping that an Noguchi or a Tomy hits a double or hits home run, get him into scoring position. Try to get him into scoring position so, you know what, you don't need a hit. You know, the Sox were in a situation the other day where I think what Pecenik walked, he stole second base, he got to third on a ground ball, and I think Dye ended up walking. So he had first and third and one out. They had the opportunity of a sack fly or a simple ground ball to the right side scoring a run. Instead, it's a double play from Canerco. Now he hit the ball hard, granted, but the fact is they could have scored without even getting a hit. That's what they have to learn to do when they're facing the Santanas out there. And even, you know, if you take some guys in the Tiger staff like a Bonderman, who if they're dominating you one day, you have to make sure that if you get a base runner, you have the capabilities and the approach at the plate to get him over and get him in. And it starts with Guillen. It starts with doing more hit and runs. It starts with having guy steals. In that series against the Twins, Ross Gloed stole second base. That's what it's about. A guy like Ross Gloed, who people aren't going to expect to steal, him stealing, him being aggressive. And if you get thrown out, you get thrown out. But take the chance.
Yeah, when you're talking about Jolán Santana, you do everything you can to get one run. And if you get that one run, you get it, and then you go right back out there and try to get another one run. You don't go out there to try to get 3 or 4 run home runs, because you know what? Let's be honest. Let's be realistic. You usually don't have that many base runners on when you're facing Santana. So you make the most out of it, and you be overly aggressive. But speaking of overly aggressive, and I'm all for overly aggressive, and I'm for aggressive mistakes, I do have a problem with Joey Cora. Because some of these times, actually, it's becoming more and more often that he is sending guys, and I'm sitting there going, what in the hell are you doing? Just as, you know, you just see there is absolutely no chance, there's no reason to send him. Unless the guy makes it just one of the most awful throws, they're going to be out. Yet he sends him. And that's a big problem because you're ending rallies. You're ending things that are in good position. We're getting guys thrown out of the plate where they had no chance of scoring. And a lot of times it involves guys like Canerco or Creedy, you know, not our fastest guys. And he's sending them. And it makes absolutely no sense, especially because you have guys that have good arms in the outfield.
He has to realize that when a guy like Canerco is rounding third base, he's not going to get faster. He's going to get slower. He's going to tire down as he gets closer to that plate. So at the end of the play, he's going to get thrown out. My whole theory when it comes to being thrown out at home plate, if I feel it's a close play and it was a perfect relay, I don't mind a guy being sent because it needed a perfect relay in order for that team to get the out. And really, for the most part, teams, there's not many teams could do a perfect relay. Even though they're professionals and they're major league players, a lot of times you see a botch along the way. Either the outfielder makes a weak throw, or he overthrows a cutoff man and makes a bad throw, or the catcher drops the ball. You always find a mistake. But when you have situations where it's just a very simple and easy relay, and you have the guy out by 2 feet, and those guys are the Canercos and the Creedys, that's a problem.
No, I agree. If it takes a perfect throw to get you, so be it.
Yes.
You should be running all day long on those because it doesn't
happen.
Because
that's being aggressive.
Yeah. But when it just takes, just get the ball there and you're out, that's a major problem. Unless the guy throws it, you know, 20 feet over the catcher's head, he's safe, or 20 feet to the right or the left, you know, that's a problem. But speaking of problems, the Twins have a problem of their own. Brad Radke, who's been pitching with a torn labrum, he left the game early on Friday.
2 innings.
And there's some questions on whether he's going to pitch again this year, I guess. And right now they're just going to say they're going to kind of push back his starts. But with Liriano already out, this is obviously a big, big problem for the Twins rotation. And they have the Royals and Yankees this week, so this is a week where we can definitely make some ground, and it'll be interesting because the Twins have some problems in that rotation now.
You know, and I think even a bigger problem for them, and their rotation, you know, the Twins staff and bullpen, it seems like the reason they seem to be pulling off wins now is because their offense is scoring when they need to, and their pitching staff is pitching when they need to. I'm going to be curious to see if this pitching staff were to stumble a little bit, how the offense would react. Because when I look at this offense, when I look at guys like Nick Punto and Bartlett and so on, I could see these guys maybe get into a slump come September, maybe for a week or two, and I could see that kind of tailing this team off a little bit. Especially, you know, if you have some injuries to that rotation where they're not pitching, you know, at full strength.
Yeah, the only thing really going for the Twins right now is obviously the style of baseball they play. They can beat other teams even when they're not at their best. And the fact that their schedule is going to be easier than the White Sox schedule. And I'm not really mentioning the Red Sox because the Red Sox are going to have to get real hot, and they're just really playing bad baseball right now. And then you have the Detroit Tigers. This is going to be the Tigers, probably the toughest week of their season because they play the Yankees and Angels. And they've been in a big slump. If that slump can continue, all of a sudden you're talking about a three-way race for the wild card and the division. But if the Sox are going to make any noise, it better happen now.
It's
we have Tampa Bay and Kansas City.
Any chance for the division is going to come this week. Because when you look the following week, the Tigers and the Twins are playing a four-game series starting September 7th. It's a four-game series. If the Sox got to take care of business this week, and obviously with the, you know, with the Tigers playing the Yankees and the Twins playing the Yankees, this is their chance where if they want to take the division, they have to do it this week. And then from there, you know, you go from there. The Tigers,
yeah,
I think the Tigers are playing the Mariners and the Twins. And really, when you look at this American League, there's not many easy wins, and there's a couple teams that you could say are easy wins. But you know, for the most part, every team is competitive and can beat you any single day. But the Tigers are going to end up facing the Mariners. And then you have the Twins, who are set to face the Devil Rays before they face the Tigers. So they have to put themselves in a situation where that series on September 7th between the Tigers and the Twins, the Sox are kind of right in it to where, you know, while they're bouncing off each other and beating each other up, the Sox might be able to sneak in and do something.
Yeah, and then obviously the Sox are going to have their West Coast trip where they play Oakland and the Angels, and I think they have a series left against the Yankees, so that part will be
difficult. Their upcoming schedule after the Devil Rays and the Royals is they play the Red Sox for three, then they play the Indians for four, which is never easy because the Indians' offense in general could explode at any time, and they could really give you some problems. Then you have the Angels and the A's, that West Coast trip, which always gives problems. That's followed by three games against Detroit, four games against Seattle, three games against Cleveland, and then probably the biggest series of the year will be the finale against the Twins in Minnesota.
So it's gonna go down the wire. The question is, the White Sox have the abilities this week to really position themselves. We're playing two teams that we should beat. 500 is not acceptable. I'm talking 5-1. If you have this is a time where you step up and you beat the teams that you should beat because we haven't done that.
Five.
This year,
as,
and now's when you do it.
As
Freddie
up and
Garcia's
down,
going to have to man up.
As up and down as the Sox have been, as poorly as they played this past weekend against the Twins, and really in that Tiger series, they dropped the first two. They had to come back with the next two to win. As kind of on and off as they've been playing, 5-1 is not hard, is not expecting too much. They should be able to do 5-1. They should be able to sweep either the Devil Rays or the Royals, especially against the Royals, considering they went 2-2 against them last week. Was it last week? They went 2-2 against them recently.
They shouldn't
be, you know, dropping one or two to the Royals. They should be sweeping them and getting back at them.
Yeah, so the White Sox, I mean, we're going to see a lot about what the White Sox are because this race is getting closer. You have the teams involved, and we still have a shot at the division. And right now, if I were a betting man, I would not be betting a ton of money that the Tigers were guaranteed at the playoffs the way they're playing. I wouldn't be guaranteeing the Twins a playoff spot, even though if they had Radke and Liriano, I would pretty much put them as a lock.
It's all up in the air. It's all up in the air right now. And really, once the playoffs start, you're going to have whatever four teams make it. There's not one team that has a clear advantage over the others. It's going to be tight. You know, the Yankees, they have the offense to take over. The Oakland A's, they're kind of scrappy enough to where they might be able to do some damage. Every single team, whether it's the Sox or the Twins or the Tigers or whoever, they all have the capabilities of going to the World Series.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And in the National League, you obviously have the Mets
The
and
Mets.
maybe the Dodgers. Maybe, but they've kind of fallen off now.
Yeah.
So that's the show. We'll be back next week. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Hopefully you don't think I'm the ultimate pessimist. I prefer to consider myself a realist, and the realities of
You
it is
were
that Ozzy's done a lot of questionable things.
actually positive. I think you were more positive this week. You just don't like Ian. But as far as the Sox as a whole and their chances, you were more upbeat today. You just don't like Ozzie Guillen.
Yeah,
Because you're racist.
it's true. Well, it's not because I'm racist. It has nothing to do with that. But remember, check out TalkBears.com. The Bears, one more preseason game, and then the regular season starts. And before anyone complains about Rex Grossman, I just want you to know that I was watching NFL Network preseason game, and this may be a Sox show, but I happened to get the Cardinals feed, and they were raving about Rex Grossman, all while the Bears fans were booing him. So you know what, Bears fans, shove it. Rex Grossman's our starter. We got the Bulls. It's still a long offseason. We play Miami to start the year in October. You got the Blackhawks. Maybe they go get Gomez from the Devils. So they get another offensive player. We got the recently opened TalkBig10.com and probably open by the time I'm back on the show, TalkPrepSports.com, which is all about high school sports. It's going to get a lot of airtime on ESPN radio. You'll probably hear it about it in the Daily Herald. It's going to be big if you like high school sports.
Little
I know nothing about them.
network no more. Big now.
Big, flex the muscles. Feel the power.
Feel the power,
I run
Jason.
an evil empire right now. Now to take over the world.
You got a ways to go before that happens.
I think so.
But I like your aspirations. All right, well, we're going to be back maybe next week. Next week's possible. We got
Yeah, we
Labor
should be
Day.
back next
We
week.
got Labor Day, so we'll see.
Yeah, we can do some laboring
I
activity
guess it
on
all
Labor Day.
depends. If the Sox have a bad week, you might be a little bit too upset and down on yourself to actually do a show.
Yeah, because
Or motivated enough.
I'll be on that ledge, you know? Oh, wait, no. I'm not that type of fan.
What if they're in first place by next week?
I have a big smile on my face, I'll tell you that much.
Well, hopefully the Sox are in first place by next week. I think
It'd
that's.
be nice. It'd be a shock, but it'd be nice.
I'm guaranteeing that.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
We'll see you
Your
next week.
guarantees aren't going to be like mine, are they? Because Rockies, they're not going to the playoffs.
What? There's still a chance. Oh, are we talking about the playoffs now? Because there's still that wild card.
True. Everyone has a chance in the National League.
Everyone has a chance, even the Cubs. We'll be right back. We'll be back next week. See ya.